Look at traffic. I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM, FM, and .com.
8 minutes after 8 a.m. in for Tommy Tucker on this Friday Eve, as I like to call Thursday. It's National Tell a Joke Day. Tell an old joke day. What happened to the dog that fell off the cliff? One person texts us. Dog gone. A dyslexic guy walks into a bra.
Hey.
All right. Keep the text coming at 504-260-1870. If you want to tell us an old joke on this National Tell an Old Joke Day, you know 85% of bald men still have a comb?
Really?
They can't part with it. All right. There is that, and we appreciate, well, maybe we do, maybe we don't, the jokes that people are texting in. I didn't realize till Chris Miller told us that gasoline prices are at a four-year low.
Doesn't feel like it, but that, yeah. I guess it's true.
We're partying like it's 2021. We haven't paid prices this low since then, right after the pandemic. And I guess that's good news. It wouldn't take much to change that, just a little unrest in the Middle East or a little storm in the Gulf. But I'm going to enjoy that since I drive 150 miles a day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I actually bought a more fuel-efficient car because I drive so much now, and I actually am very particular about where I get gas because I want to find those lowest prices. And, yeah, it really is nice that we're having these low prices. Both of you have literally less than a 10-minute commute, so I guess it's not as big a deal to you.
No, it's when we start have to take those weekend road trips where it becomes an issue. But, no, in good times, if I'm not having to travel, I can go on a full tank of gas probably a month just because I have to go three blocks to and from work.
You fill up once a month. Joe, how often do you fill your tank?
I mean, probably close to that, about once a month. But it wow. feels like gas is more expensive because everything else is so much more expensive. So it's sort of snuck under the radar.
Well,
there.
With 150 miles a day for my round trip commute, I fill my tank two or three times a week. So yeah,
every now and then I'm feeling sorry for myself in the morning, and I'll be like, God, it's so early. This is so hard. And then I remember the commute you have, and I remember I'm an ingrate.
But every day when I get home to that my dream house now in rural Tangipahoa Parish, I really go, wow, I live here.
But that's the important part.
It's like a vacation every day I get home. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Joe. Think of another joke. We'll get you guys to tell one more joke coming up after the news at 8:30 on this National Tell an Old Joke Day. You can text us some jokes as well at 504-260-1870. New survey out from Bankrate about how we feel about our jobs, and this may surprise you. We'll get the details after this. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. Why did the orange stop in the middle of the road? One person texts us. It ran out of juice. And somebody else texted the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. What did the left eye say to the right eye? Between me and you, something smells. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. I didn't say they were good jokes, but it is National Tell an Old Joke Day. No joke is the employment situation out there right now and how people feel about their current jobs. Bankrate has done a new survey, and Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, joins us now on the live line. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dave. Good to be with you.
Glad you're here. I'm not in this number, but it looks like about half of us are going to be looking for a new job soon, huh?
That's what our Bankrate survey indicates. We asked those in the workforce, which is defined as those who are either working or looking for work, and exactly the same percentage as a year earlier, 48% say they are likely to look for a new job over the coming year, and that percentage is even higher for younger workers.
Why do you think that is, that for 2 years running now, about half of everyone you surveyed wants a different job than they have at this time?
There are a number of reasons that I think this is happening. Number one is what has been the result of high inflation and elevated prices that really hit us beginning about 3 years ago. It's that we are facing affordability challenges. Some even call it a crisis in some iterations when we talk about housing affordability. And it's not just the affordability of a home purchase. It's in many instances just the cost of rent and other necessities like automobile insurance, health insurance. insurance and health care costs. So one way to try to resolve that is to get better pay. And it's also interesting to me, thinking about, let's say, the diplomatic tightrope that can be involved, 44% of workers say they plan to ask for a raise over the coming year. So I think people are looking to resolve any number of different issues with their work. Others, and this was certainly a big thing in the early days of the pandemic, as we know, plan to seek more workplace flexibility, whether it's different hours, the ability to work from home or remotely more often. And that was stated by 36% of workers overall.
And I got to imagine some of those who are looking for that more flexibility, maybe because they have a side hustle and they want to be able to make more money doing something else in addition to their primary employment. Again, coming back to what you said earlier, times are hard right now for a lot of folks financially, at least they're perceived that way, and people are looking to make more money. So I'm not surprised 44% are going to ask for a raise and nearly half are going to try to find a new job. I got to imagine of those 44% asking for a raise, the ones who get told no may jump over and join that percentage who are going to be looking for a new job.
Well, that could well be, I think that, you know, there we could do, you know, a whole segment on how to go about managing those kinds of conversations, because very often many people have the least effective communication skills when it comes to talking about money. And includes on the job, but also, let's say, with family members or friends. It's a complicated subject. It can be one that's emotionally charged. And of course, there's that whole idea in cross-examination in court, which is sometimes don't ask a question that you don't know the answer to. I think sometimes, you don't want to ask for a raise if you think that there's a substantial chance you're going to get shut down. But the other part, of course, is it's a valuable conversation to have in the context of, well, how is my overall job performance? What is the outlook for me in this job? Is there room for improvement, not only in performance, but also in the kind of job I have? In other words, can I be promoted? So the good news right now, Dave, I think, is that the unemployment rate has remained nationally in a pretty good place. 4.1% was the surprise that we got in the most recent reading on that about 3 weeks ago, having previously been at 4.2%. But at the same time, the hiring rate is cooling. And even in the jobless claims that we got this morning, the continuing claims are getting pretty close to the level of 2 million. And that suggests that job search times are taking longer. So for those who are planning to look for a job, some patience might be in order as well.
Yeah, it's a tougher job market out now than it has been in a while. And on some levels, that's a good thing. On other levels, not so much. When we come back, I'm going to ask Mark, if you are in the number that are going to be looking for a new job in the next 12 months, what should you do first and foremost to improve your chances of getting that new job you're looking for? Your thoughts and comments as well, 504-260-1870. Are you surprised that half of people for 2 years running now say they plan to look for a new job in the coming year? I'll also tell you about a couple of conversations I had with people recently when they went to ask for a raise or asked for funding for something that they wanted to do at work. And the way they were met wasn't what they were hoping for. That's after this. Check on WWL Traffic. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. I'm going to tell a bunch of ones you are texting me coming up after the news at 8:30. But Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, you have one for us?
Sure. I got to keep it on topic, though, Dave. So it's, why did the banker switch careers? He lost interest.
See, that is actually kind of, I feel bad sometimes laughing at these bad jokes, but, it is what it is. But I'm glad you did that at least, you stayed in the profession. And I think most professions have jokes that outside the profession, maybe others don't find funny. A lot of folks may not find it funny that the job market is getting much tighter. Unemployment down, new jobs added. What did you say it was that was released today?
The number of people who are continuing to receive unemployment assistance is getting close to 2 million and had been, below 1.9 million. So we're seeing longer job search times.
All right. So how can someone who may be in that nearly 50% of people you surveyed that said they do want to find a new job in the next 12 months or at least look for one, how can they better their odds of getting a new job?
I think there are basically three steps that one should undertake to go about this process. And the first one is sort of time tested, and that is make sure your resume, and I would also say and that's sort of the digital product that you would tend to keep in a document, but also the online representation of that. LinkedIn is just so widely used by HR professionals. Make sure that those are where they need to be. And it's not just where, and I've given this advice to people who have asked for help with their resumes. Very often, the way they line things out on there is to say basically they were present for a job, let's say between this period of time and the end of it, and they'll list what the job title was, but they don't mention anything about accomplishment or achievement. And so, you know, to get a job, generally speaking, it needs to be more about attendance. It needs to be about high performance, and so emphasize achievement in those jobs. And you can use AI to help polish some of these things, ChatGPT, whatever your favorite tool is, but it needs to be in your voice, not essentially the application's voice. And the other part is, and this is relevant also to a tool like LinkedIn, and that is to make sure that your both virtual and real world networks are activated before the time that you need to search for a job, either because your previous employment has ended or you're among those, as in our survey indicates, are looking to make a change. And then thirdly, make sure that your skills are either at where they need to be or they will be. And that might mean that you get some training. It could be at a community college, a trade school, or just some online training, because it's such a dynamic world we live in right now with so many things changing so quickly. The skills that might have been pertinent 10, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, have shifted in many ways, at least for some positions.
You know, you told us earlier that, and that's all really good advice, because as a hiring manager, and I think the first thing you said rang the most true with me, just telling me you had a job and what your title was and what your responsibilities were is one thing. But telling me how you made that company better, how you improved things for that employer, what you accomplished in that role can really go a long way to impress me just looking at your resume before I ever get a chance to talk to you. So thank you for that. 44%, you said, of people are going to ask for a raise this year. I've heard from two people in just the last couple of weeks, one who went and asked for a raise and another who wanted to get a project funded at work, and they were greeted with essentially the same response. We don't have money for that. Times are hard right now. There's no money for that. So how do you overcome that kind of objection if you go and ask your boss for a raise and they're like, you've seen our books. You know we don't have that money right now.
Well, let's say, for example, that this conversation about asking for a raise were to happen in the near term, and looking at the calendar, that means that it's almost August. Asking for a raise doesn't necessarily mean saying I need to have a raise right now. And we think about the fact that, you know, most company years are pretty strongly correlated to the calendar year itself, meaning the beginning is January. And so many companies would now be in the process of formulating their budgets for the coming year. And the end of the year is just so many months away, meaning that raise could be forthcoming whenever that sort of compensation review season occurs. So just having the conversation is one thing, and a company can plan accordingly. A wise manager, I think, is aware that they need to retain their best performers, their best workers. And the cost of losing a great performer can be financial as well, meaning that they can lose, you know, revenue if indeed somebody leaves, depending on, let's say, what kind of a job it is. So alerting a manager to that this is top of mind for you is important, but you also need to make the case that you've earned it. It's not just like, you know, the lamest excuse is, hey, the cost of my automobile maintenance is going up. That doesn't cut it, because we can all find ways to spend more money. It's about the performance on the job and the value you bring to it.
And probably the first point you made about if you're looking for a job, sing your accomplishments. Make them realize your worth if they don't already. Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Mark, senior economist and analyst for Bankrate. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, David.
And thank you for your joke, too, giving us a smile on this National Tell an Old Joke Day. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. All right, I actually laughed out loud at a couple of these jokes I'm going to read for you after the news here on WWL.
With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM, FM, and .com.
At 8:40, in for Tommy Tucker on this 24th of July, 2025, National Tell an Old Joke Day, and this has caught fire. People are texting us like crazy with old jokes and have been all morning. I'm sorry I can't read them all. Some of them because there are too many, others because, well, probably shouldn't read them on the radio. But I actually feel kind of silly that I laughed at some of these out. I actually LOL'd. Laughed it loud, out loud at some of these. and I don't know what that says about my sense of humor. But here's one that I actually laughed out loud at. Do you want to hear a joke about a pizza? Never mind. It's too cheesy.
Boo.
How do you make a tissue dance? Put a little boogie in it.
Hey.
Oh.
How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it.
Oh.
How do you catch a tame rabbit? The tame way. Why did the scarecrow get an award? Because he was outstanding in his field.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that one.
What time is it when an elephant sits on the fence?
Hell if I know.
Time to get a new fence.
Oh, that elephino is what you get when you cross an elephant and a rhino. I'm sorry.
Yes. Wrong punchline. Different joke. When the buffalo dropped his son off at school, what did he say? Bye, son. You actually laughed at that one. Good. What do you call a cow laying down? Ground beef.
Why are dad jokes so...
I'm going to need a drink after I get off of work today.
Why did the truck driver go to England for vacation?
Why?
To get a tan on his right arm. That's probably a truck driver joke.
That is. That's a good one.
Yeah. Wow. Ian's actually losing it in there.
Just turned Ian into the Joker.
It's so stupid, but it works.
Why did the ghost go to the party alone?
Why?
Because he had no body. Somebody else said, why didn't the ghost go to the party? Because he had no body. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for those jokes. All right, guys, you'll have one more chance at 9 o'clock if you want to tell one of your old jokes on National Tell an Old Joke Day. I'm Dave Cohen. Coming up next, it hasn't been a joke for a lot of people working out at the NASA Michoud Assembly Facility after round after round after round of layoff. But then good news that the big, beautiful bill had big money in it to resume work building rockets out in New Orleans East. Coming up, we'll see what is the future of the space program and how could that impact New Orleans. We'll get Bill Harwood in here, who's been covering NASA for a long, long time and keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on with the space program. We'll get an update on that for you after this on WWL. Between the NASA Michoud Assembly Facility and the Stennis Facility is a whole lot of people who rely on those two locations for providing serious, serious salaries and careers here in Southeast Louisiana and coastal Mississippi. But things have been up and down of late, so we asked Bill Harwood to join us. He's been covering the U.S. space program for more than 40 years and is a CBS News consultant. Morning, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, good, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. The news has gotten a little better lately, but for full disclosure, I had a son and a son-in-law who both worked at the NASA Michoud Assembly Facility and have now decided to go find jobs in other fields because of the ups and downs and the mass rounds of layoffs and downsizing we saw before the big, beautiful bill finally gave some people some confidence and we hear about rehirings. What is going on with the U.S. space program right now? Does it have a clear direction? Is there even a NASA administrator?
No and no. So it's a complicated story, as you well know, but what happened this year is the Trump administration's proposed budget for fiscal 26, next year's budget, which would start on October 1st, it basically reduces NASA's budget from $24.8 billion down to $18.8 billion. That's a $6 billion cut. And the science budget has been cut, you know, even worse. It's almost a 50% cut in what NASA spends on space science. That's interplanetary probes, Earth science, all of that. You mentioned job losses. NASA is trying to get people to take early retirement. Something like 3,000 people have left the agency at this point. There will be more. I'm not sure how to even couch it. You know, the Planetary Society, which was founded by Carl Sagan back in the day, said that the science cuts that are being proposed represent an extinction level event for NASA science. It's that bad. Now, having said that, as you mentioned, there's been a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, perhaps. The appropriations subcommittees in the House and Senate have both met and opted to put money back into NASA's budget. But it's a long process, as you know, and whether the administration will sign off on that or not, we don't yet know. In the meantime, NASA is proceeding as if these cuts are going to be implemented. There are 124 science missions underway or in development. 41 of those, I think, something like that, would get canceled. Another 17 would be zeroed out, and that includes active missions like the Chandra X-ray Observatory, the New Horizons Pluto probe, you might remember, which is now on the way to interstellar space and is still quite healthy. Even the Juno probe, which is in orbit around Jupiter right now and doing great work. So some of these things may be saved. We don't know yet, but if we don't have a signed budget by October 1st, then NASA proceeds, you know, if there's a continuing resolution, something like that, then it's being thought that NASA is going to press ahead with these cuts and proceed as if they're going to implement all of this and start shutting things down. So
yeah, that's got to be concerning for folks on the Space Coast, particularly at Michoud and Stennis. But we did get what was perceived at least as good news, and tell me if we misperceived that. In the Big Beautiful Bill, apparently we were told there was funding for Artemis to continue through a fifth rocket to bring astronauts back to the moon, and that the primary contractor, Boeing, and others in the region were going to rehire 90% of the hundreds and hundreds of people that had been laid off.
I can't verify the 90% number. It is true that they've added back additional missions. The Trump administration was going to end Artemis after the third flight. You know, there's a flight coming up. Artemis 2 is coming up early next year. That's going to send four astronauts around the moon, but not land on it. The Artemis 3 mission would land on the moon. And at that point, the Trump administration said, we're going to cancel SLS, the Space Launch System rocket that's, you know, the first stage is built at Michoud, and the Orion crew capsule. So two flights at least have been added back to that. But again, remember, this depends on what actually gets enacted in the final budget, and we don't know that yet. But clearly, there's a lot of congressional support for the Space Launch System rocket and the work that's done at Michoud to keep that thing flying. And so hopefully, you know, from NASA's perspective anyway, those funds will in fact be restored, and we'll have the SLS around for a bit longer, one hopes.
When should we expect Congress to finalize the budget for that October 1st spending begin?
Well, I've got to point out that this country hasn't signed a budget, you know, by the fiscal year deadline in recent memory.
Yeah, we get these continuing resolutions.
And I don't think anybody expects it to happen. Yeah, I don't think anybody expects that to happen this time around either. So what you end up with is a continuing resolution or something like that. Now, the administration, there's a lot of concern out there that the administration is going to use some tools that would basically impound the NASA money, that money wouldn't flow to those programs that they want to cut, you know, until there is some finally enacted budget. But I can't predict how that's going to run. I'm not a budget guy, but it's a pretty grim outlook if the congressional folks don't win the day here.
Sounds like uncertainty will be certain, at least for a little
exactly
while longer.
Right. Yeah.
Bill, always a pleasure to talk to you. I wish the news were better, but thank you. I know you keep your finger on this pulse, and it's always good to get your take on what's going on with space exploration. Have a great rest of your week.
Hey, you too. Take care.
CBS consultant Bill Harwood, 40-plus years of covering the U.S. space program. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. A lot of people want to tell an old joke. We'll be back after this. All right, amongst all the seriousness, we've been telling some jokes today because it's National Tell an Old Joke Day. One person texts us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. Why does a cemetery have a fence around it? People are dying to get in. Thank you for that. Keep the old jokes coming. Some people call them dad jokes. Either way, they can be very good or very bad. I think we love jokes that are both very good or very bad. Very good now is the traffic situation coming across the Bonnie Carey Spillway after those miles and hours of delays it felt like earlier today. All things are cleared. But now a lot of that traffic has made it to Metairie, so you're going to have slowdowns through Metairie. We'll get another check of traffic from Joe Cardosi coming up after the news here at 9 o'clock. We'll also give Joe and Ian one more chance to tell one of their old jokes. If you love country music, big news, country music superstar in Louisiana's own Lainey Wilson will now be featured as a special guest at the Mumford & Sons Railroad Revival Tour concert Sunday, August 3rd at Champion Square. And we at WWL have five pairs of tickets, and one of those pairs could have your name on it. If you want a chance to win, go to WWL.com/contests. If you were listening yesterday, we had Glade Bilby on from French Quarter Citizens with still huge questions about who's going to be the trash contractor picking up garbage in the French Quarter after August 1st. Well, there was another court hearing yesterday, and we'll find out how that has impacted the uncertainty of 1 week from now who's going to be collecting trash in the French Quarter. We'll check in with Glade Bilby again for an update after the news on WWL.